Started. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Good morning, everybody out there in China Rising Radio Sinoland. This is Jeff J. Brown talking to you not from China, but from beautiful France, where I'm spending my summer vacation. And we are again elated to have on our program today Dr. Godfrey Roberts, a retired educator. Who hails from Thailand. And good morning, Godfrey.
Good morning, Jeff.
And we had a wonder. And by the way, that interview we did on Shanghai's education, the schools in Shanghai, God, I think it's up to 6,000 listens. So obviously there's a lot of interest out there about China's education and international education in general. And but one thing that you sort of closed out that interview, you said, and Shanghai, even though they're ranked number one in the world, they don't even have the best schools in China. And we didn't really have time to follow up. Would you like to sort of summarize your research and knowledge about that?
Sure. Well, I got clued in because somebody read on my blog about the schools in Shanghai, some guy in China, and he wrote me a very polite letter, a very diffident letter saying, "Yes, Shanghai is good, but there are systems much better." But he didn't name them, and he didn't say anything. It was just very simple. And so I started digging. And I found, to my surprise, that there are two or three entire provinces that rank higher than Shanghai on the Gaokao.
Really?
And oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
And actually, a couple of them were included in the last OECD PISA test. They weren't published, but they were included. So it appears that Shanghai is actually lagging in China. It's just ahead of the rest of the world.
Wow. Do you remember the names of those provinces, Godfrey?
I'll dig them up and get them to you before we hang up,
All
and
right, don't
or
worry about it.
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I just I, what I, the whole point of us getting together and talking to fans out there is to dispel this notion that Chinese education is inferior to the West, that it is a bunch of mindless zombies, who go to school and memorize, Mao Zedong thought all day, and that brings us to this deliciously bad. I mean, this deliciously bad piece of propaganda that I sent you from the Wall Street Journal about. The how the, about the fa the flawed failing Chinese universities, and they had this poor girl, Chinese girl that they got a hold of, and she went to University of California in Irvine, and it was just the most blatant biased it was just ill-informed article. And just to kind of go through it, this girl, she went on a 2-week tour and went to America, decided her parents and her parents decided to send her to UCal Irvine. And then they just, she her impressions that she was trying to convey was is that in the United States, there's always something to learn. You can't just memorize. It's so interesting. I'm going to go to hot springs and snow skiing, on vacation. And in China, they're cheating and cutting class and learning off seniors' notes, and it's rote memorization. And, I can sit on the grass on a leafy campus. Making it sound like the campuses in China are, like concrete jungles. And in China, I have to learn, you know, Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought and military theory, you know, the Gaokao, the big entrance exam, which is similar to the SAT. Anyway, you've read the article too. Can you just kind of just talk about this?
Yeah. She was basically in the process of complaining about escaping the system. And then as we read into it, she realized that she couldn't make it if she took the Chinese exams.
Exactly.
She wouldn't make the cut. And at that point, her parents had enough money, God bless them. And as parents do, they sprung for a very expensive education. But it's inferior.
Yeah, yeah.
It just is.
Yeah. Well, I have a little bit of a skin in this game. My daughter, I have a 19-year-old daughter who came over here in 2010 with us during our second residence in China. And she loved China, loved Chinese. In fact, she just spent the last year after high school studying her Chinese. And it is so good now that she is actually going, she got accepted into Beijing Normal University. And she is going to study human resources in Chinese. So she's going to get her bachelor's in human resources in Chinese. And I guess she'll learn, you know, Marxism, Leninism, and Mao Zedong thought, but that doesn't bother me because in America, if you go to university, you learn, you know, about capitalist economics and, you know, unregulated markets and there's, you know, ROTC military, you know, on campus, and you learn about an imperial history. I mean, to sit there and suggest that somehow Western students are getting some sort of, you know, lofty, objective, you know, view of the world and economics is a joke. And this is a Marxist-Leninist country with Mao Zedong thought. And so obviously, if you go to school here, just like you learn about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, well, here you learn about Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping. I mean, there's not a darn bit of difference. So,
no.
Do you know?
Incidentally,
go ahead.
I just in that Wall Street Journal article. I'm assuming you'll post the link.
Yeah, I will post
because
the
it's
link.
A classic.
It's so bad. I want my family to read it.
Yeah, it's got two graphs side by side, which show at a glance that there are more Chinese kids studying at American universities than studying in Chinese universities. And then when you look at them, you look at the legend and study it carefully, you'll realize that they've changed it by a scale of 100. They've got two different scales side by side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, one thing I found that, you know, was interesting, that the article did say there are 300,000 Chinese students going to school in American universities. But there are 7,500,000 college graduates here in China, which is twice as many as the United States, which is to be expected. There's a billion people here. But, you know, when you put that on a scale, that's only 4% of the total number of students getting college degrees in China, the 300,000 students in America. And, you know, India was the next largest country with 100,000. But you would expect that. China has 20% of the world's people. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, as we both know, that the Chinese are getting much, much more difficult degrees in engineering, science,
yes,
technology, mathematics. They're you know, they're going heavily into, you know, high tech. High intelligence, what they call the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So, and then the other thing I found out is that my daughter's not the only foreign student going to college here in China. That probably surprises some people out there. But I just found out that in 2014, there are 377,000 students, foreign students, going to these universities in China, which they call flawed system, low standards, uninspiring, don't learn anything, ill-prepared for the global economy. I mean, this,
well, you know
this,
how...
This is the Wall Street Journal.
U.S. News and World Report does the annual rankings of colleges worldwide. And the number one number one engineering school in the world is Tsinghua.
Yes, Tsinghua, yeah, in Beijing.
Yeah.
Even ahead of MIT and Stanford.
Yeah.
And UCal and everything else.
Yeah.
And by the way, and that list of foreign students going to schools here in the in China, the United States is the second largest group. The biggest one is hands down South Korea. I guess the schools in South Korea must be really bad. They're all coming over here. And they must be really bad over there. I guess they must learn Park Geun-hye thought over there. But anyway, actually, the Americans are the second largest group of, believe it or not, there are 25,000 Americans in Chinese universities today studying at these in strict curfews, frigid classrooms, understocked libraries, cockroach-infested, overcrowded dorms. I mean, these are words that I'm taking right out of the the Wall Street Journal article. So it's nice to know that my daughter is going to go to a cockroach-infested, frigid classrooms, dreary. I have been on Chinese universities. They're sitting all over the grass. There's China. Beijing has planted a half a billion trees and bushes, you know, since 1949. Beijing's one of the greenest cities in China. And she said, oh, and there's hippies. There's hippies in California. You know, and you go to Chinese campuses and they've got, you know, pink hair and mohawks and, you know, tattoos and earrings and nose rings and.
Well, of course, she never went to college in China.
Yeah, so she doesn't know. She didn't even go.
She doesn't know.
And then the snow skiing is so funny when she said, oh, I'm going to go snow skiing. This last winter, we asked our daughter to go out to dinner one weekend. You know, we were in Beijing and we said, hey, honey, do you want to go out and have dinner this weekend? She says, I can't, Daddy. I'm going snow skiing with a bunch of my Chinese student friends. And these are just normal middle class, you know, Chinese, you know, friends of hers that went snow skiing for a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, but she has to go to California to go snow skiing.
Yeah.
And she was the foreigner. She was the only foreigner in that group. And they hired a bus and they got rooms and they spent, you know, like two nights up in the mountains north of Beijing, you know, snow skiing. And these are not elite kids. These are just, you know, kids that just, you know, made the Gaokao and got into school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're obviously very bright kids because there was an amazing bit of research done by Steve Su, who's the professor of physics at Michigan State, I think. He said, in the U.S., we've got about 10,000 really top-level people total from, you know, of all ages who are able to contribute really fresh thinking to any discipline, and they have an IQ of around 160, and they're very rare individuals and very precious. And he said, I did the math. He said, China has 330,000 of them.
Amazing. To us a little bit about the Gaokao. I mean, they really trashed it. They said that they have to memorize seventh century poetry and it's all rote memory and they don't learn anything.
Just read between the lines. I'll continue reading from the journal. But if your listeners are listening, they'll hear what's really going on. It says, in China, admission hinges on the Gaokao, which can only be taken once annually. Competition is intense. Last summer, a Sichuan family made headlines when it emerged that a mother hid from her daughter the news of her father's death for nearly 2 weeks until she'd finished taking the test. Top scoring students, known as Zhongguang, are fated with parades. They have parades in town.
Yeah, I know. And
like many students, she spent years cramming fiercely, waking up at 6 a.m. and not finishing her homework until 1 or 2 a.m. Crackdowns have enraged parents and so forth. For all its faults, they say it's the only fair way to handle so many applicants. It's a massive two-day ordeal, and it's the kids who make it through are treated. They get a free education, they get the whole works and career paths. As my Chinese friends keep reminding me, Jeff, he said the Chinese system has never been anything but cruel. He says it's always been cruel. It's you make it or you don't. At age 17, your fate is more or less decided. That's it. And that's the downside to it. And that's where our American compassion, I think, at least theoretically, for people who don't have that kind of talent comes in. But even there, China does better than us. I think they're lower educated kids are getting raises and getting jobs easier than ours.
Yeah, absolutely, and the also for our listeners out there, the Gaokao is not some new communist, a fiendish communist, plot to destroy China's youth. The Gaokao goes back to thousands of years to the Mandarin exam, where anybody in China from the lowest economic rung of the ladder to the aristocrats could take this test, and if you passed, it didn't matter what color you were, what your religion was, it didn't matter how poor you were, it didn't matter how rich you were, it didn't matter who your parents were. If you passed, you got in. And so this is why they have the Gaokao, is so that poor kids and kids from although there are complaints and they're probably valid, Beijing and Shanghai dominate. Just like in the United States, the big city schools, tend to be better than, rural isolated schools. But it is a chance for a nobody to become a somebody by passing this test, regardless of their upbringing.
A friend of mine actually passed the test and went on to do education. And then this was some years back. And he went back to his village when he graduated. It's the first time he'd been back to his home. He just didn't have enough money and graduated as an engineer. And he went back to the village, it was 4 years. And he said no one would look at him. And he stopped one of his uncles and said, Uncle, he said, nobody's looking at me in the face. and the uncle said, no, we've never had an engineer in the village before. This is a great honor. So that's how they feel about educated people over there.
Yeah. Well, and teachers too. I'm a teacher in China, and I would much rather be a teacher here than in the West. I mean, I'm a teacher, a professor, and there's this immediate sense of reverence and respect for me and my profession, and which I don't get in, I don't get in the West. It's like, oh, you can't make it, can't get a job anyplace else, huh? You don't want to make any money, huh? But yeah, there is, yeah, these Gaokao graduates are feted, and they there's there was you sent me another article about how Stephen Hawking, the great English astrophysicist who has ALS, how he had his was it his was it his Twitter site or something? Anyway, he said he had a Twitter site or his website or something, and he had like 200,000 followers in the West, and he's got like 2.2 million followers in China. And it's in English. It's not even in Chinese, but it just shows you the passion that the Chinese have for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and how they are really held in high esteem.
Wow. Well, that's interesting because do you remember Steve Hsu? He was the Secretary of Energy under Obama in his first Steve Chu.
Yeah, that's right. The Chinese, the overseas Chinese guy.
He won a Nobel Prize for physics. He's from Caltech. And anyway, he went to Beijing. And you should have seen his tweets home. He said, "Now I know what it's like to be Paris Hilton." And he said, "When I came out of my hotel this morning, there were 5,000 people with their kids, holding their kids up so the kids could see a Chinese winner of the Nobel Prize." He said, "I went to a college to give a lecture to the undergraduates, and he said they were asking me questions from stuff I'd written in my master's dissertation when I was only 20." They had dug this stuff up.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let me see. Also, I just wanted to point out that they the one of the yeah, the one of the biggest things that they use, which was very deceptive, and I want to point this out in the Wall Street Journal article because this just shows you how biased and unprofessional Western journalism can be. And they give you the and again as you said with the two graphs, oh, the graph of the Chinese going to America is skyrocketing, and the number of people students taking the Gaokao is going down. And so from 2008 to 2015, you know, the it was like two lines going in opposite directions, and then about a week later I saw an article in the Chinese press where they were talking about it, and they said, "Well, the reason is because of demographics. We don't have as many test-taking age, Gaokao age
Kids.
people as we did 10 years ago. We're going through a period where we have fewer Chinese in that age bracket." So it has nothing to do with it. They give you the impression that the Chinese are abandoning the Gaokao and they're fleeing to the United States. It's
Hey, I can top that one. You remember this gal you said who was interviewed for the Wall Street Journal? Well, she goes, if you dig in, it says Ms. Wang spent a year practicing knife skills and learning tasks such as how to wrap steamed buns before she switched to her current major, English education. She has low academic eligibility.
If she had done a good job on the Gaokao, she would have been offered a job in electrical engineering or medicine or, you know, psychology or whatever. Yeah, she's just she is an average to below average student.
And then if you her, the next paragraph says her parents grew up poor, eating meat only on holidays. So they're sending her for a college education in the States, which most Americans cannot afford.
Which
And
means they,
they're paying cash.
and of course, foreigners pay more than Americans, and
Oh,
Americans
yeah.
pay more than in-state students, and so which just lets you know that that family did extremely well
Yeah,
since
exactly.
1949.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting is they said the which mirrors actually the United States. It said that China has, 2,600 universities. They've dramatically, they're spending billions and billions. They've doubled, I think, the number of universities since something like 2000. So they're building universities like crazy. But then the cut, the insult. They said, but they're pumping most of the money into the top 100 schools. Like, that's not what they do in the United States. Harvard and Oklahoma State University are treated the same. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Well, that brings us back to what we were saying last time, is there's an air of desperation. It's like wartime. If we just keep up lying long enough, and keep everybody in the dark, surely we'll win. But that ain't happening.
And then, another comment was, the average grad salary is less than that of a migrant construction worker. Construction workers make more money than a lot of people do in the United States. I know construction workers who are making $50,000 to $100,000 a year.
Oh yeah,
And then nice union jobs. What's left of them?
And then
said, teachers are paid less than an auto parts worker. Well, that sounds like the United States. Teachers are paid crap wages, treated like garbage, attacked by the system, attacked by the parents, attacked by politicians.
I was
a teacher for 3 years. My wife and I taught for 3 years in the States. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And then she's going to stay and get a master's, and she's going to be a teacher, which is fine. But, so she's paying this her huge tuition, to become a school teacher, which is fine. I love teaching. But anyway, and she's going to stay and get a master's to stay competitive, because in China now you have to have get an additional degree to stay competitive. Well, when I was going to school back in the 70s, that's why I got a master's, because I had to be competitive because a bachelor's wasn't cutting it anymore. And now
that's
in the States, you have to have a PhD. But they make it sound like that's special and unique to China, and they don't even point out that it's the same way with all over the world, for that matter.
Yeah.
So and then the other one that I loved was China, the world's second largest economy in exchange rate terms, the world's largest economy in purchasing power parities, flying to the moon, planning building an international space station, planning to go to Mars, building missiles that the United States has no defense against, and they're saying that Chinese students are ill prepared for the global economy.
Oh, dear me.
But one thing, and then I think this has been a lot of fun. The one thing I would, if you would like to comment, you sent me an article that was really interesting by Ron Unz from the Unz Review. He's really quite a guy. He ran for office, didn't he, in California?
Yes, he did. Bless his heart.
I don't know how well he did.
He's the only conservative I'd ever vote for.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. He actually printed one of my articles a couple of years ago, and it got a really good reception. But anyway, he has been on a rampage over the last year about Ivy League school bias, selectivity, racism, the whole gambit that's just contrary to this Wall Street Journal article. And he said, he wrote an article, or somebody on his website wrote an article, that the Jewish people, who have always historically been sort of the brainiacs and the elite of the elite in the United States, are being replaced in elite prep schools and universities by Chinese. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon, and I circulated that to my Chinese friends, who are all young guys, mostly expats, you know, educated in the States, and they agreed. They said, "Yeah, it's obviously true," because they often visit, you know, young nephews and cousins at colleges. They said it's true. They put it down to hunger. They just said we're hungrier. We're the new up and coming, the Jews once were in America, and they were hungry. We are now, and I thought that was a very modest way of putting it. But I have one friend who went to Caltech, and if you don't know what Caltech is, it's this secret place for geniuses. They take 400 kids a year, the brightest kids in America, and they had a lot of Chinese students there, and my friend was studying there, and he said, yeah, they work harder. There's no doubt about it. The Chinese students at Caltech work twice as hard as the other guys. So that side of it is for real. I also think they get a better start. They get their fundamentals better in their high schools, and they've got about a 5-point edge in IQ, typically. You know, if you match kid for kid, the Chinese kids usually got a 5-point IQ, and that's a big, it's a logarithmic scale. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then one other thing that I think I sent this to you, but one other thing is that the other deceptive, very, very deceptive thing where they said that Chinese students have exploded in the last, from 2008 to 2015, the number of Chinese students in universities in the United States has exploded from 100,000 students a year to up to 300,000 now. But then I, in doing research, for this interview, there was an article about how actually more and more and more of these Chinese students in desperation are going to community colleges, and that the number of Chinese students going to community colleges is increasing like 50% a year. And for our listeners out there, I'm not against community colleges. They're great. You know, they're a great way to get your foot in the door and to eventually make it into a 4-year school. But community colleges are typically sort of the last refuge of the desperate in the United States to try. They're not good enough to get into a university, and so you go to a community college for a couple of years, or usually 2 years, to try to get your study skills and your knowledge and your maturity up to enough where you can get accepted into a 4-year college. So, as you said, the best Chinese students are staying here. You know, the 7.5 million that graduate a year are the ones that are, you know, who pass the Gaokao, and the 300,000 that are going to the States are the ones that can't even pass the Gaokao. I'm not all of them, but I'm sure many of them are. And now most of them are, many of them now are going to community colleges where, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, when someone says I'm going to community college, they're typically a poor minority, did not do well in high school. They're working, you know, in restaurants and stuff, trying to feed themselves. And this is sort of like their foot in the door to try to better their lives. Community colleges are not Harvard. They're not even Oklahoma State University.
Oh, no, not even close.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think we just get it. It's just another kind of propaganda channel, like another angle to keep people unaware of what's going on. I don't see the payoff, Jeff. At some point, everyone's going to know. At that point, obviously, it's going to be too late.
China's going to be sitting on top of the hill, the king on the mountain.
they'll dominate every field of endeavor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Godfrey, we have been talking, and I think it's been an exciting half hour together. We'll have to maybe do this. You and I keep sending each other articles. You have a wonderful website. I will post your website. I will post the Wall Street Journal article. I will post the Ron Unz article about the Jews versus the Chinese. I will post our interview that we did about the Shanghai high schools. I'll also, of course, post that I just wrote my newest book is now out, China Rising, Capitalist Roads as Socialist Destinations. And I know
you're a definite must read, by the way.
Well, thank
buy it, read it, and review it.
Thank you. And
above all, review it, guys, everybody.
Well, thank you. And then you're reconstituting your website, which I know you lost a lot of information,
yeah.
But it got
just hacked. All of it.
it got hacked by some China haters. But
yep.
Anyway, I will post all this. I'm sure it's going to get a huge reception because education enthralls everybody and interests everybody because everybody has some skin in the game. So
yep.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
have been talking
Jeff.
With Dr. Godfrey Roberts in Thailand, a retired international educator, and this is who has a vast knowledge of China and Chinese society, culture, history, politics, etc. And this is Jeff Brown, the author and analyst on China Rising Radio Sinoland and at www.chinarising.puntopress.com. Godfrey, thanks so much, and enjoy the beautiful weather in Chiang Mai.
I thank you, Jeff.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.